So that part of the Philippines that you were landed, the Americans had taken back already then?
Yes, the Philippines were liberated about 2 days before we landed. And there was still pockets where they were still fighting. Dispersing area where we were had a lot of people that just had come out of the war, so they kind of drove it home to you that it was a dangerous situation. But the Philippines had already been liberated, but the resistance wasn't there anymore. So
you think the civilians were glad to see the Americans?
Certainly, they were. They were very glad. We got along real well with the native population. Welcomed everywhere. It was a kind of a triumphant thing, I suppose. So we got along well with it. When I was in the mail delivery service, got into a lot of areas where we went into the homes of the natives, and they were all talking. We went into one, they built a house built on stilts, and built to withstand the monsoons. Tornadoes or whatever the rainy season, and they understood why they were built that way.
Were these people that were living in a city, or were these like rural people that
rural
you...
Rural people, yeah. But we had the main part of the city wasn't... It wasn't rural. Just a few, three or four story structures. There was no skyscrapers or anything like that at that time.
So how did they put you in mail service when you had all this technical knowledge?
Well, because they didn't need me in that field, but they were prepared to. If we'd gone to war, we would have, we'd have been in battle situation, so we would have worked at what we were trained for.
But did you feel relieved that you weren't going to have fight, or were you kind of, did you wish that there was still something for, that you prepared all this time to do?
No, I didn't think about it one way or another. I wasn't relieved, or I didn't want to, for it to continue or to, to be in a war situation. Glad the war was over that part of the country.
So how long did you do this, and who's, you were delivering mail to service people?
To Army and Navy bases, the camps and ships.
So you would have mail and you would have to go to a ship, or you would have mail and you go to a different base, or?
Yes, Army base or Navy base or Marine base or camp.
So did you have, did they have their own boats and own jeeps and stuff? Is that how
you
got?
Yeah, we had our own jeep. We had, there was four of us. It was still kind of a war situation, you might say, because we carried firearms.
Were there still Japanese out there in the hills?
We don't know that there was. It was a lot of prison camps all over, and they were there. So there probably was hiding out. I didn't look for any.
How long did you do that then?
Well, it must have been 6 or 8 months. I lived in a APL.
Which is a, what is an APL?
It's a ship that for living. Living quarters. It was filled with, more like a dormitory than stationed out in the harbor.
Mm. Were there a lot of them out there?
No, this was the only one that was the first living quarters, APL 19. Mm. And so we operated out there, went out, and when the ships came in, we'd go up and pick up the mail for the Army and Navy bases.
Was there always a lot of mail?
Yeah, there was always a lot of mail. There was no regular mail delivery service. When the ship came in, there was a lot of mail on it.
Were they like mostly V-mail or?
All kinds of mail.
Were a lot of packages sent to the boys out there?
Yes, there was a lot of packages, yeah. Mm. And the mail for the officers and the mail for the facility, but not necessarily personal mail.
Mm-hmm.
It was all kinds of mail.
Mm. So after you finished with that, where did they send you?
That's when I came home.
Then you came home?
Yeah.
But you said you went to Manila.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the postal service operated out of.
So you were in a ship in the harbor in Manila?
Yes. That was for living quarters.
Mm-hmm. And you told me earlier that you saw, was it Julius Ants?
Yes.
From home. Did you just kind of walk in and see him, or?
Well, he was a cook in the Wilson building in the walled city, what they call the walled city of Manila. And it was the only building that was intact. All the others were shelled and bombed by us. We did all the damage that was done to that part of the city.
And he was a cook up there, and did you know he was going to be there, or?
No, it just happened that when noontime came, wherever we could go in and eat wherever, whatever the facility was there, whether it was the Army or Navy or even the ships at sea in the harbor. I used to like to go out in the harbor and eat lunch, because these steamers and the ones that delivered the mail, they always had good cooks. Got away from the Navy chow, and so of course those people worked at it, you know, and they were hard for that, and they were good cooks. So I used to like that part of it. Go out there and work.
So did you recognize Julius first, or did he recognize you?
I don't remember we got together for a few times after that, but he was transferred, and I didn't get.
You mentioned Navy chow. Now, what was a typical Navy chow?
Well, it was, they did have tropical butter and tropical ice cream and all kinds of stuff that would keep. Nothing, hardly anything that was ever fresh. Canned stuff. And
What was your favorite Navy chow meal? Well, did they kind of like have the same thing, and you just used to see it like once a week? You'd say to see the same thing?
Three times a week, I got beans. And that was my favorite dish. I like pizza. And I would get there one day on Wednesday morning for breakfast, you'd get beans. And for Sunday supper, you got beans.
How did they cook the beans?
Mostly baked. Mostly baked.
So they're sweet and.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sweet. Mm-hmm. What kind of meat did they give you?
Mostly canned. Mostly canned. There's probably not true any longer because they now they have refrigeration and they have mm-hmm. all the storage facilities. And
so did you think the food was pretty good or did you?
Well, sure, it was good. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was prepared properly.
I imagine the cooks were kind of important people.
Yes, they are. They were. You found that. I recognized that when I had to go eat aboard ship somewhere. but they all had good cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the naval vessels, the tramp steamers and all the other mm-hmm. ships that anchored in the harbor.
Mm-hmm. So how you would, okay, so you were there for about 8 or 9 months too?
Yeah.
And then they sent you home?
Yeah.
After the bombing of Hiroshima, or how are we relating to this?
Well, the war was over with about 3 or 4 months before I got out.
And so they shipped you back, and what boat did you come back on?
It was a Navy ship. It was a Navy. We went into North China Sea on the way home from Manila. And they give you the distance from California each day. And that one day we went 24 miles. 24 miles.
I mean 24 miles towards California.
Yeah.
You know?
that was a storm. It was
right.
A real storm. We were up. So we didn't make much headway. Mm.
So what was the mood of the guys on the boat coming back?
Oh, gay. Mm-hmm. They're happy. They're happy. I'm glad to be coming home. Landed at Fort Guanimi, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands out in my mind because it's the first time I landed back on American soil.
And so how long did they keep you in the service before you got your discharge then?
About 3 days. Just enough to get your papers work done and came home.
Hmm. So where did you come back to?
Came here.
On the train?
Yeah.
When you got back here, were there special parties for you guys that came home, or?
No, we never came home in a body.
Mm-hmm.
I came home one by one, mm-hmm. and I came home out of the boat. There were parties for one.
Well, so you had parties in your family?
Yeah, mm-hmm. family was glad to see me back, for sure.
Right. Had your wife been living here then?
Yeah, she stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I remember about being after discharge was that I was got my discharge but said on there was complexion ruddy.
And what was that supposed to mean?
Well, it was I'd been in the tropics all long time and got used to it, and so that when I went back here, it was cold, and I wasn't used to the cold, so my complexion was ruddy.
So what month did you get back here?
It was in February.
Well, so you went from hot and hot tropical.
Hot tropics to winter.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I have that's why they describe my complexion as ruddy.
So did you come right into a train into Sutton's Bay or?
No, into Traverse City.
And your family picked you up there?
Yeah.
So how did you start your life again then?
Well, I went to work in Traverse City. For cherry growers. I worked at cherry growers for a couple of 3 years.
Doing what kind of thing?
Mostly sheet metal work. Gas welding, maintenance work, general maintenance.
Any electric work?
No, I didn't get into electrical work till I went to work for Frigid Food. So they had their electricians and they didn't, but at Frigid, I started in electrical work.
So you started at Frigid when they first started up their plant?
Yeah.
And what year was that about?
Gee, I don't remember now. It must have been 47.
Cherry growers were just doing cherries down there then. They weren't still doing their potatoes, were they?
Frigid Food was in Sutton's Bay.
Right.
And they were, no, the potatoes were done by stores down there, Hampton.
Well, they had a potato dehydrating thing during the war, but you were gone probably when they were doing that.
Yeah, they were doing that was a cherry gourd.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that I didn't. I wasn't in there on that. Mm-hmm.
So then you worked at Frigid Food for how many years? Were you there?
38 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Until what year did you retire?
I didn't even thought of what year it was. I was 60. At the time, that's when they shut down too.
Okay, so it was like 1986 or something
like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good place to work?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I worked at electrical work and it automated a lot of their canning lines.
Really? So you did designs for that and.
Pardon?
You helped design what they were, their automation, or?
I did the whole thing.
Really?
Design and the actual doing the work to automate the lines.
Were they different designs from like what Cherry Growers was doing? Did Frigid Foods do things differently?
I think I was the first one that automated any canning line. And they were getting into automatic machines then, so that you had to almost automate the whole line. And the up to then, the lines that just went around from one area to the where the motors were, that's where the controls were.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to go around all over the plant in order to stop or start.
Mm-hmm.
But with the automatic machine, so the machine, a filler, automatic filler, broke down, you had to shift everything that fed that machine right down. Otherwise, you'd have carries all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So with automation, you have to have better control. You couldn't run around the place turning the machines off.
So I know they did 5 gallon pans of 5+1. What else did they do there then?
Well, they had the half pack cans of 303s and number 2 cans. And
mm-hmm.
One bank of pitters to feed the 30-pound can or 10-pound can, or you could reverse it and feed the other end and feed the small can. Smaller cans, number 10 cans or 303 cans.
Well, there are a lot of people from Shadowstown that worked at Frigid Foods.
Right. Mm-hmm. They used to. Mm-hmm. At that time.
So that was pretty big loss for this community when they lost that employment.
Yeah, and summertime.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's turn this up. We were talking about Frigid Foods and the fact that it had been a big employer of local people here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's seasonal. Well, apple time too. Mm-hmm.
So they canned apples too then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they ever get into any vegetables?
No, most of them. We got into some fruit, but not mostly cherries and apples.
Who was the plant manager or the head guy when you most of the year, when you, while you were there?
Well, Chippy Smith was the manager.
Is that Keith?
Hmm?
Is that Keith Smith?
It is, Keith was manager after Chippy.
Oh, okay.
Chippy Smith from Omaha. Related, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm. Was that like Geneva's husband?
Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be like Keith's uncle then.
Maybe. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, we covered a lot of ground. We've been
I don't
all halfway around the world and back again.
Well, I when you called before, I said I didn't feel like I could add anything to, as far as my service experiences went, and so I still don't feel that. It's just the job that had to be done, and you did it and came back. And
well, to me that's valid too, because people my age and even people younger than I are not going to be asked to do jobs like that.
No. Hopefully they won't. Mm-hmm.
If you had something that you would like to tell people my age and younger about World War II, what would it be?
I don't believe that I'd have anything to tell you. I don't think
there was a lesson that you learned in there that it would be good that we would know about?
Yeah, you could apply. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. No, you were called in, and did as you were told, and you're through with you. Came back home.
Were you? Were you glad? Are you glad now?
Well, I'm proud of having been in the service. Yes, mm-hmm. Certainly.
Do you think seeing that other aspect of a culture that you know was very different from yours helped you understand?
Well,
the
it,
world
uh,
better.
I feel that it told me that people are the same all over the world. I went to the Philippines and I went into a banana plantation. People were picking bananas and the younger ones were throwing rotten bananas at each other. I remember when we were picking cherries, kids used to throw cherries at each other. It was probably the same thing. It was a like situation, so they were the same as us.
Mm-hmm.
Make you feel like that people are people, no matter what their race or color.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something we didn't talk about. When you were a child, you helped pick cherries. Did your whole family go out and pick cherries?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We picked everything. We picked raspberries, blackberries,
mm-hmm.
strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry.
Mm-hmm. And your father worked in the woods.
Yes.
What did he do? Was that year-round work for him?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It was. You don't do much lumbering in the summertime.
So what did he do in the summer then?
Well, he came home and out of whatever was here.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever fish?
Yeah, fished quite a bit.
For the family or?
Yeah, mostly.
Did he have gill nets out there or what did
no,
they use?
No, my dad fished with a hook and line. About 300 feet of line that would go way out in the middle of the bay and fish for trout.
Now, your mother was a very talented woman.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could say the same thing for my wife, Eleanor. She cooked at Leonel Memorial Hospital for about 12 years.
Did she?
She was the head cook there. And they still brag about her cooking. She was a very good cook. Spoiled me.
Well, one thing we haven't talked about that we need to is the names of your children.
My son's name was Kenneth. And he was the oldest. And he was in the service.
Mm-hmm. When was he born?
After 41. So he was after that. He went to college in Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Central.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went out west to Seattle, stationed there. Went well. Then he went to White Sands in Texas.
So what branch of the service was he in then?
He was in the Army. And he was a school teacher for a while downstate. And he was a math teacher. So that was his field, so that he, when he went to the Army, well, that he went into planning and trajectory and all those things about that. And that's why he went to White Sands. He was pretty well versed in all the fields of mathematics.
Okay. And did you have other children?
Two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Jean Ann and Janet.
And do you remember when they were born?
Okay. 45 and 51, I think it was. Mm-hmm. About 5 years difference in their ages.
Jean Ann in 1945? And Janet in 1951?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. This is just a sheet of other information. We'll have to go back and get it. There was a question that came to my mind and now I've lost it.
Well, there's one question to you that you haven't.
I think I've asked you all of those. Oh, here's one question that you may be comfortable answering, and if you aren't, please don't. But did you find that in the Army that you were well treated as a Native American?
I believe I was in the Navy.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, Navy, yeah.
I believe I was treated better. I think treated better than being a Native American than if I had been even white.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I don't know. Something that when you get away from the home areas of any Indian, you get out away from there, you're treated a lot better than you would are here in your own home. Detroit, I was treated real well. Worked in Detroit, and there was no, I imagine there was some discrimination, but not as rampant as was here. And the Navy was, there was no discrimination. In fact, it was treated better than they found out I was Indian.
That's very interesting. I've heard people say that there was, well, and I think this, the fact back that out, that a higher percentage of men from Peshawestown went and served in the military than from the rest of the county.
From the rest of the country. Yeah.
Why do you think that is in your heritage that would?
I believe it was, I think their environment had more to do with it than anything. They went into the service and they were there. They were done better and they ate better and they lived better than they did, you know, at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got company. I see a pretty little girl. Two pretty good.
Hi.
So let us.
Hi.
Let us.
Hi. That's my great grandchild.
She's pretty. Well, let's wrap this up so that since we got your company here now, or your grandchild.
Yeah. I had medals.
Okay. Yeah. What medals have you? Do you have?
I had American Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pacific Theater.
Okay.
And the Victory Bell.
Okay.
And the Philippine Liberation.
Okay, because I haven't heard of that one before. Do you still have those?
No, I would have. I've had a lot of souvenirs and stuff that, well, back at me, but the children and grandchildren that all these years of that don't have them anymore.
Do you have a picture of yourself in your uniform?
Yeah.
Would I be able to borrow it and copy it and bring it back? I would like to use it in our exhibit.